Westfalenpferde. Der Podcast rund um die westfälische Pferdezucht. Das Westfälische Pferdestammbuch steht seit 120 Jahren für Erfolg und Erfahrung. Es führt das Zuchtbuch für renommierte Reitpferde und zuverlässige Freizeitpartner. Aber auch Reitponys, Kaltblüter und viele weitere Rassen gehören dazu. In diesem Podcast geht es um die Arbeit des Westfälischen Pferdestammbuchs. Wer gehört zum Team? Wie züchte ich mein erstes eigenes Fohlen? Was passiert rund um eine Auktion?
Episode 47. The Know-how of Westphalian Horse Breeding Part 2 with Breeding Manager Thomas Münch. In our last English episode, we have talked in general about aspects of Westphalian horse breeding and what the perfect mating of man stallion should look like. In real life, not all matings can be picture book perfect. And even if they seem to be, the upbringing and training influences the horses and their future success immensely. My name is Britta Knaup and I'm happy to welcome back on this podcast our breeding manager Thomas Münch. In this episode, we will dive deeper into some examples of Westphalian horse breeding. We have picked out some very successful show jumping horses and will talk about the specialities in their breeding and pedigrees and their main successes. Welcome back, Thomas Münch.
Hello again.
So today we want to focus a little bit on show jumping breeding and talk about some examples, especially for Westphalian horse breeding that have turned out to be very successful. Here we found some perfect breeding examples which have also become very successful sport horses. So last year at the Olympic Games in Paris, all team riders of the German jumping team rode a Westphalian horse, which was definitely a very special moment for our association. Let's dive a little bit deeper into the pedigrees of those three horses, which are all very interesting in their composition as well as their breeding backgrounds. We start with United Touch S. The stallion was bred by Julius Peter Sinek and is ridden by Richard Vogel. And his pedigree has two specialities, or even, as I think, one curiosity, as the Shire as well as the Dam not only descend from the same line, but even have the same dam. So father and mother of United Touch are half siblings. Also, they both have a very famous horse in their dam line. Thomas, tell us a little bit about this and the special breeding of United Touch.
So we have last year the luck that we had three top horses in the Olympic Games in our team, branded with the Westphalian brand and competing for the Westphalian stud book. They are three horses are totally different bred. So three breeders, three breeding ideas. So that's the first idea was Julius Peter Sinek, the breeder of United Touch. He covers the Touch of Class with her half brother Untouched, and this is a very special mixture, and I think a little bit dangerous. But it went. You see the result. It's United Touch and Richie Vogel. It's not only the dangerous mixture of mixture up your half sister and brother. It's also the mother line of the legendary Olympic mare and championess, Classic Touch, with Ludger Baerbaum. The fourth mother is Cevada, and Cevada is also the mother of Classic Touch. So being so close in this pedigree with the half-sisters and with this also special mare, she was also a very electric and a little bit special, tricky mare with the outstanding rider Ludger Baerbaum. He managed it very, very, very top in the top class. And now we have United Touch, and I think he's also a little bit special. And later on he had the luck that Richie Vogel takes the reins and starts in his saddle, and you see the results of a fantastic career of United Touch and the fantastic breeding idea of Julius Peter Sinek. I think the first years when he saw his breeding product, he was very convinced that it's the best in the right way, but also some of the known specialists were a little bit flabbergasted and excited what will happen with this breeding product, United Touch. But it was an Olympic horse.
So apart from United Touch, in your personal opinion, is it wise to pair Dam and Shire that are so closely related?
We know too less about the mixture of so close relatives. For my opinion, I'm a little bit afraid, and it's not too famous and too popular to mix it up so close.
So what can go wrong?
So I'm not a best scientist in breeding mistakes, but if you see the incest degrees in other populations, we see a lot of bad formations in the body, in the anatomy, in the organic health. But in the horse business or in horse breeding, it's not too much researched that we find it too dangerous. But I'm a little bit afraid. Julius Peter Sinak was not afraid, and it works.
So the next Westphalian in the team was Cinedae. He is bred by Franz Georg Ottmann, who, by the way, has also already been in this podcast to talk about his horse breeding. So Cinedae is a son of Cinedine out of the mare Paola by Polydor, and he was ridden in Paris by Philip Weishaupt. In this pedigree of Cinedae, the direct dam is a very special one. What can you tell us about this breeding?
So this breeding is very famous and a top example for being a top breeder with a top breeding idea. So you mix up a five-star stallion, Cinedine, who was also competing over 150 with Ludger Beerbaum, 160, and you mix it up with a 150, 160, three-star level Grand Prix mare, like in this case Paola. She was competing with Hendrik von Eckermann. So more security and more results who speak for the breeding progress you can't find. So it's fantastic that Franz Georg Ottmann mix it up in this way and like this. For me and for our breeders, is this the best example how to breed? Use a sport, a successful mare, not only over 150, 160, but it's also fine when she was competing over 120, 130. Then probably you need only a stallion with a little bit more scope to get later on your best sport horse. But this is a top example for being a top breeder and producing a top product, mixing up five-star level stallion to five-star level mare.
And then we come to the last and third horse of the team. So this is maybe now the most famous one. It's our Olympic individual champion Checker, ridden by Christian Kukuk. And Checker was bred by Wolfgang Kipp out of the dam Pamina by Come On, which he covered by Comme Il Faut. So maybe here we have to start a little bit earlier in the line to talk about the stallion Comme Il Faut, which is also very special for our Westphalian horse breeding. His shire is Cornet Obolensky, and even though Cornet Obolensky is a Belgian warmblood, he has influenced Westphalian horse breeding in the last decades like hardly any other. So tell us a little bit about the specialities of the stallion Comme Il Faut and also the shire Cornet Obolensky, who is so special here in this region.
So we find a lot of Cornet Obolensky. He was discovered by Heinrich Ramsbrück on a green field during a foal show in Belgium, where he was running 12 hours over the field. And Heinrich Ramsbrück asked the breeder, what kind of horse is this in the age of 2 years old, being so strong and being so enthusiastic mover and willing mover, and he wants to buy him. And so Heinrich Ramsbrück bought Cornet Obolensky. He was licensed in our stallion licensing and then sold to Ukraine ownership. And later on, successful with Marco Kutscher for Germany on many, many, many championships. And Konrad Obolensky is the father of Comilfo. Comilfo is also the son of Ratina, and this is also the famous mixture of two top parents. So the top stallion Konrad Obolensky and Ratina, the top mare of Ludger Baerbaum, two five-star German champion team members mixed up, and they produced Comilfo. And Comilfo was on the date of his licensing only around 160 in the height, and everybody was laughing about the commission who was licensed them Comilfo. Later on, he feigned also his top rider with Markus Ening, and then the story is written, and we have the top next stallion Comilfo in our breeding region. So this is the story, the small story of Comilfo.
And what do you think, why did Konrad Obolensky become so valuable for Westphalian horse breeding? He was very successful for his own, and then he had many mares to cover with and got many foals. So what are his special traits that he inherits to his foals?
So with Konrad Obolensky, we get the strength, we get the scope, the willingness, the heart mind, and also the fighting aspects in our breed, and it fits to the Westphalian dam lines, and so we have a lot of Konrad Obolensky pilot mixture, and it's a little bit tricky, and not only for the amateurs, but for the top sport, it's a good and a hard mixture.
And did Comilfo inherit all these special traits from Konrad Obolensky, and does he also give this to his foals?
In the end, Comilfo's offsprings are a little bit more suitable for the amateur sport, and a little bit easier to handle. I think it's not a bad attitude of Konrad, but the good attitude of Comilfo, that he produces also a lot of good rideable, better mover than Konrad Obolensky offsprings. And when you see the top result lists in the international sport, you find Konrad and Comilfo in every result list of the top championships and in the top Grand Prix of this world. So for us, it was top to get Konrad Obolensky over Heinrich Ramsbrück, and later on the mixture with Ratina to get Comilfo in our breeding region.
So Wolfgang Kipp, the breeder of Checker, he had a very good instinct to cover his mare than with Comilfo. And let's get back to Checker and his dam line. He's also a half-sister, Pepita Conspita by Conspirit, who's also successful in advanced level show jumping competitions. Are there any other specialities about this dam line?
This is the best example how breeding works. So it was not a famous mother line, and the mare was out of the stable of Paul Schockermüller. And if you know Paul Schockermüller, you know also his breeding philosophy. And when he truly believes in his breeding mare, he won't sell her. But the mother of Checker was for sale, and she was over some ways. She came to Wolfgang Kipp, and Wolfgang Kipp covered her with a to this time famous young stallion, Comilfo, to sell her in foal to the next breeder. So he also doesn't want her in his breeding farm to stay longer, just to deal with her. And if you have a look on the mother line of the mother of Checker, of Pamina, you also cannot find a big number of successful sport horses. There's only 150 horse out of this mother line, and some 120, 130 horses. But out of Pamina, there are three horses over 150. So Pepita, Conspita, there are Checker for sure, and Cedric and son of Kantoki is also competing over 150. The special thing in Pamina's pedigree is that she have not the successful mother line as we know it, like United Touch or Cinedine. She have two World Equestrian Games competitors like Camon and Balobé in her mother line, and later on over Pinocchio, the blood of Pilote. So it's also fitting the Cornet and Pilote blood again. So in the end, the breeding idea of Wolfgang Kipp works. Get your mare covered by a young, famous stallion to this time, and sell the hope for the future by selling Pamina in foal with Camel Foam. And later on, Checker was sold as a foal and came in the right hands and in the right stable. And now we have Checker under the saddle of Christian Kuckuck. And then we have the breeding ideas of these three Olympic horses, I think, from the side of the breeding association explained. And one of our big advantages is the stable of Ludger Werbaum and the Riesenbeck, and the training and education of also the good riders. So we can breed top horses, and we need the top riders. So in Germany, we have the advantage that we have very close to us top stables, and one of the famous stables is Ludger Werbaum, and with Philipp Weishaupt, with Christian Kuckuck, and Richie Vogel, who was also training a long time in Ludger's place. That's, I think, one of our advantages, and also a big part of the success of Westphalian horses.
And coming back to Checker again, what makes Checker so successful? As you said, it's not like he's been the perfect mating. The dam line of his mare is not very special, but he was covered with a good stallion, and now he's the Olympic individual champion. So what comes together in Checker?
So in Checker genes, there we have a big collection of top horses, like Camel Foam, like Conor Bolensky, like for sure Retina, like Camon, Balobé, Pinocchio Pilote. So that's a big collection of quality in this genes and in this pedigree. And the fact to be a top horse and the Olympic winner is that you have the best team, and then you need also the best rider, and then you have Christian Kuckuck in this moment as the best rider for the best horse, and then you have the Olympic winner. So I think we can not breed an Olympic winner. We can think about how to improve it and how to improve our breed, but we need the luck as a breeder to find the top fitting match for our breeding products, for our foals, for our sport horses later on, to get in top stables, top management, and then.
So in your opinion, how important is the pedigree or the mating then? What role does it play, and what other factors maybe influence the career of a horse more?
I think the pedigree and the plan for breeding is the first step, and it's a very small step in the life of being a sport horse or a top sport horse. It needs so much patience, a lot of luck, being in the right time, on the right place, meeting the right persons, the right trainers, the right riders, being in the best time in the fields, being in the right time in the stable. How was my start as a riding horse when I got broken in? So these facts and these moments and the management around is much more important, I think, than the start of being an idea of breeding. But yeah,
it helps to
have a top horse, and it's the beginning of all the stories we can talk about.
But it's not all that matters. The upbringing is also very important, and the right rider at the right time and the right trainer.
Yeah.
So when you look at a horse or select a horse for stallion licensing or to be licensed or to be sold at one of our auction, what do you look at first? Do you have a look at the pedigree first, or do you see the horse at first and say, I like the horse or I don't like the horse?
At first, I'll have a look on the horse.
And then the pedigree comes second.
And the pedigree comes second by foals, a little bit with more pressure and a little bit with more influence on the idea being in part of an auction. Later on a riding horse selection, I need a good horse, because then we have the riders and they will test it and they will have a good feeling on them or not. So that's selling riding horses, selling the future. We need some top pedigrees and a fitting mating.
So we've now talked a lot about show jumping breeding. Maybe later on in another episode we can fill it with dressage horse breeding and talk about some dressage horses with special matings. For now, thank you for all these insights into the Westphalian horse breeding and your personal evaluation on this topic. So at the end, as always, one final question. In your opinion, what is the biggest secret to success for a horse?
The biggest...
Or the most important secret.
In my opinion, what is the secret to success for a horse? If I knew it, I won't tell it in this podcast and keep it by myself and earn a lot of float money with this secret of success.
Thanks for this. Thanks, Thomas Münch.
Westfalenpferde, der Podcast rund um die westfälische Pferdezucht.